Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw Podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
Then you're on orgasmatics. You're orgasmatics. Sneaking in the back door with daddy magazines. So your mama wants to know what all the stains on the jeans. So you're orgasmatics.
Thanks for tuning in to the Screw. Hello, A-Love.
What's up, love? Sorry, I had to take a vape hit to really, you know, get in the space. Not like a nicotine vape hit. I'm not doing that. So let me shut this light off for a second.
I was going to say, you have like a cool little puff of smoke above your head right now.
They must be like, oh, it smells so good in that booth after he leaves. How you doing? What's going on?
I'm all right. Same old, same old. I feel like we just recorded yesterday, but it was a week ago.
We've been good.
I don't think anything's happened. Has anything happened?
You mean like? I mean, kind of. I mean, the world is on fire in general. But like,
yes, yeah. The world is in fact on fire.
I mean, we don't need to point out all of that. I don't think. Like, I'm always torn. It's like. Part of our duty as entertainers to like help people escape or help them hit shit head on. I'm never sure. You know, it's hard to be.
I think we're also human. And if we don't have the capacity to do it, then we also do not need to force ourselves. Yeah. You know, we're not fucking journalists or reporters.
I'm not sure. Is it tasteful to talk about butts?
This isn't a fucking
genocide in the same like 40 minute, like
butt sex and genocide. This isn't, it's not a news station, so we don't have to. We can just be human, and if we can't talk about it, we don't have to.
Yeah, so yesterday there was a huge walkout for Palestine at my college institution. And, you know, like, I love colleges because they do all this stuff in, like, colored chalk, you know, and you feel, like, a sense of urgency when you see, like, all this stuff written on the ground and really thick color and, like, exclamation points and like nifty abbreviations, you know, walk out for Gaza, you know. And today, unfortunately, like somebody had gone through and like changed everything to like kind of say, I think what they said, walk out, one thing was like for Palestinians and Gaza, and somebody said it changed it to fuck Palestinians and Gaga. So, you know, people are out there having some, you know, fun discourse. Jesus. On the sidewalk with fucking sidewalk chalk. Good Lord, kids. Put the chalk away and start voting for people that don't fucking suck. How about that?
Yeah, that's like really, that's pretty gross. The second part, the first part, obviously, I'm very much pro-Palestine, but fuck. And yeah, the chalk thing is,
I mean,
interesting.
You know, how it is on campuses. You know, there's certainly like a huge level of support on this campus for Palestinians, which, you know, one is happy to see. We've had several huge newsworthy walkouts here at UNM. And, you know, I like seeing like a young, active, politically like campus. You know, I just wish they would get rid of like all the different Christian sects that I have to fucking deal with all day long, trying to thump a Bible out my head as I walk by. But it's a public university, so you can't kick people off campus in the same way that you can on private universities. So,
oh, there's people like trying to sell you on religion around the campus.
JWs, Jehovah Witnesses, for those who are wondering, situated essentially at every kind of like major access point. And, you know, they come out with their little makeshift bookcase or pamphlet case, and, you know, they're dressed to the nines and they're tithing like 30% of their income to white men that they've never gonna see. That's just a little background of Anyways, yeah, I'm feeling bitter towards religion today. I'm not going to lie. It's really tough because, like, you know, I was telling you earlier before, like, we forgot to hit record while we were saying smart stuff, that, like, Colorado and New Mexico are, like, in a sea of, like, really red sentiment and, like, kind of crazy conservative values in many ways. And we just got a 7-day waiting period passed here for, like, gun ownership. And, you know, because this has been, New Mexico is a pretty NRA plus kind of state. Like, there's open carry here, you know, people are like, love their guns, but it's like not really rednecky, you know, in that way. Like, they're not trying to take their guns to go like string up black people kind of thing. They're like literally going to try to hunt. No, I mean, but real, like, it's not Alabama. But, like, this thing has been a contention, and I don't think around New Mexico's, because there's been a lot of gun accidents with children here. And gun safety with kids is a big deal in the state, and people are taking it seriously. So now there's a 7-day waiting period, and they, like, honestly, they do these really cool things at the county fairs and stuff where, like, there are gun safety people there from, like, the city and the state and whatever that teach people how to lock up their guns properly and make sure that they have, like, a safety plan, especially if they have kids in the house. So, look, I'm not against guns per se in that sense, but, like, we do have to be smart. If you can walk, any person can walk into a Walmart and get a gun as soon as they want it, what if they're upset about something? Like, where do you think these things are coming
from? It's easier to acquire a gun than a sex toy. Right.
And fuck finding a safe sex toy. That's really hard, too. So we have this cool lesbian sex shop here. I know it's not a lesbian sex shop. Let me correct myself. It's an LGBTQ+2S. It's a lot of initials that they write on their thing. So... but it's a queer, feminist-owned sex shop here in the city, which is great. You don't see these very often. And it gives you, like, a very educational kind of, like, cool thing. And our school newspaper did a write-up about them. They changed their name this week from the Daily Lobo to the Daily Libido, which I thought was, it was, like, a Valentine's Day thing. So all their articles were, like, about sex. And from, like, different perspectives.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, there was a safe...
It sounds like something I would have done.
There was a safety thing. And, like, I like that they were propping up this particular, like, adult shop, because there are a lot of sex shops in Albuquerque, but most of them are pretty scary on some level or another. And they're definitely the type of shop that carry.
Wait, scary how? I want to know about that.
So we still have, like, arcades and video booths here, very old school style. So the sex store is double as, like, you know, stick your dick through a hole and, like, watch a porno for $1 a minute, and you can buy your, you know, lubes and dildos.
So what you're saying is it has a completely different vibe.
Does.
It's a little bit more, like, on the risque, yeah, taboo
and
side.
The people that own these shops, they don't care about sex. They care about, like, dollars in the machines, and they care about you paying for overpriced
sex. I see what you're saying. Whereas the other place is, like,
exactly.
Pleasure centered.
You know, they had this really lovely thing that said something like, for those of you who are, like, are sex positive and love sex, this is a great shop for you. For those of you who not so much, this is also a great shop for you. We can talk and help you, like, move, like, wherever you are in your journey. Which is, like, you know, I always love
nice.
That kind of, like,
that's
thing
nice.
That
yeah.
Sex shops aren't just for, you know, those horny fuckers.
Experience.
Of us.
Deviants.
And you'll like this. They give discounts to sex workers, they give discounts to students, and educators. They have, like, a really cool list of the people that they give discounts to, but, like,
that's
yeah,
awesome.
So it's, like, everything you would want, and, you know, it's serious, because I loved in the article that they talked about unsafe sex toys, the ones with the flagellates or flylates, whatever that PH word that I cannot pronounce, that you're not supposed to really put in your body. That one.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. The other sex shops, these are, like, hard, like, you know, ridiculous toys that, like, aren't good to be, like, shoving inside your holes, right? Because sex toys are still heavily unregulated by any kind of safety body in the U.S., which, you know, is important. Like, we need, like...
I'm pretty sure I use one that I'm not supposed to be using, but it's like I'm poor. Like I don't.
The thing is the ones that like that phthalate stuff is supposed to make it feel like very real, but it breaks down very easily. And like,
yeah, once that you see it breaking down, you have to stop using it. My Manuel Ferrara dildo started to break down, so I stopped using it.
Manuel Ferrara is getting pretty close to breaking down himself, so you know, good timing. Like, what is he like 60 now? Like, how old is he?
He still makes porn though.
I know. Damn. Yeah. Yeah. So like my partner has been sending me like a lot of, because like, you know, X essentially, for whatever anybody is saying, is like really just like a place to find great porn clips. And, you know, so like occasionally like he'll be sending me stuff that like he thinks really hot, you know, not for us to like try it out or anything, because like, my asshole can't do the things that some of these videos show, but like I appreciate it, I respect it. And someday in my secret porno fantasy I will be able to take, you know, dick like that, but not today Satan.
Not today. But,
yeah, so that's me jabber-jabber. See, like, you know, there's a lot going on in the world, but like you gotta, this isn't a, like, put your head in the sand kind of thing I'm saying. You got to balance it, right? Health is about balance, right? So be righteously outraged. Fucking put that fist in the air. Be upset. Say what you need to say. Support the things you need to support. But you also have to take care of yourself. I know, like, these days shit is
happening.
And we've said this before, but again, like, you need that balance. You're good to no one in the movement if you're burnt out. If you want to be...
It's interesting you say that today, because one of my friends online was literally just posting that same thing today, like, and also saying like it's okay to like not be able to give any more of your money to mutual aid. You know, it's okay to like realize that like as much as you want to do, sometimes you actually have to stop yourself from doing it, otherwise you go without, you know. I think that's like important to that's a convo that's going around right now. It's just that like you still do have to take care of yourself.
It's tough because sometimes
it's the airplane mask thing. If you know, you can't help somebody else with their mask if you don't have
yours on first. That's the name of the game. Ooh, I'm getting some weird feedback all of a sudden. Live and in action. Here's some feedback. But yeah, no, it's, and this is, and I say this because like you see people and like, you know, it's really tough because like, I know for a lot of people, there's a lot of like activism that feels performative, and there is a lot of performative activism, but there's also like a point of which you need to take time off and feel bad because like, you're not like, because you're taking time off. Like, don't let anybody make you feel like you're not involved enough in, like, being upset about what's going on. Like, these are not, like, real activist things. If these conversations are going on, this is a game of performative activism. Like, people should be focused on those that need help, not on what others are doing to help those people. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not activism to be concerned about what everybody else in the fucking room is doing. You know, like, if you're involved and you care about this, care about it. Don't pay attention to the person to the left and right of you. They have the capacity to care about it differently than you, maybe. Maybe they're not caring about it at all. Maybe it is performative. But what the fuck does that have to do with you? If you give a shit about what you're talking about, keep talking about it. But don't give a fuck about what other people are talking about. You know, like... Then it becomes performative.
That's a great message.
Like, come on now. You're taking time away from the cause.
Well, right. Once you care about the people in the room, then it's performance.
So I wanted to...
It's okay to, like you said, like, talk about it, right? Like, talk about the things. And maybe that'll get people to also change their behavior. But you can't worry about their
behavior.
There's
a lot of privilege, like, in... active out loud activism. And what do I mean? I mean, if you have time beyond keeping a roof over your head and food in your mouth to like spend and devote multiple hours a day to something that you're passionate about, that's great. But it doesn't mean other people aren't as passionate about it, but don't have the resources to like act out that passion in the same way that you do.
Well, then there's the people that don't have the time or the resources and they still show up, you know? And they show up super fucking hard.
Amazing. And like, you know, those are the people that make me feel bad about myself. Not on purpose, because they're just doing what they're doing. I'm talking about my own self-analysis. Like, I would love to be there on that level. And 10 years ago, fuck yeah. But like, time and age are real motherfuckers. And no, yeah, there are still fucking old ass hippies out there getting arrested. Good for you. Like, I love it. I love it. Remember, don't ever get arrested at any of these things without a plan of action. I know it looks good in movies and on television, but this is like legit. I know people are like wired up politically right now. The people you see get arrested on TV, that's often planned. They have a plan to bail those people out of jail. They have a legal team. These people are getting arrested on purpose to bring attention to the incident. Don't just get willy-nilly arrested without a support system. You're not helping the movement that way either. You're in jail. You're no good in jail. So have a plan. If you're getting arrested at a rally or one of these things, be a part of a plan that gets you out of jail once the arrest is over. And I mean this very seriously. A few years ago, a bunch of activists were outside of the federal prison in, I believe, Pittsburgh. And they were all riled up about prison conditions because the prisoners were like, they were doing protests within the prison and it got out. And all of these individuals, they went to the prison and the protest was peaceful. And then some people decided that they were going to start throwing things at the jail. And they got arrested by the feds. That's really hard to get yourself out of. And then, you know, we live in a shitty society now where like domestic terrorism is a thing that is being thrown at activists. So please be careful out there. Don't just do things spontaneously. I know it's hard. I know people are passionate. But like, again, you're nothing to the movement if you're in jail. You're not. And like, if you think like that is about helping the movement, remember, again, those people that are getting arrested in droves, there's usually an action plan for them. There's bail money put aside. There's a lawyer ready to help and defend them and get them out of court. Like, don't just think it's something people do in the passion of the moment. It's not. Rosa Parks was part of a demonstration that was organized, very well organized. Don't forget that. Like, these are great people, and activism and political rallying is great, but like, be a part of something, because as a lone wolf out one of these things, you're on your own, and I don't want to see you in prison. So
thanks, Daddy. That was so sweet. Little wisdom for you. You know, that's good. It's good. It's good information. And also,
fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
So I think we talked about things like one of these podcasts the last few weeks ago. And I was like, oh, you know, it came to my attention that this, like, you know, thing really, really was something that was happening at all parts of the community. But like, this intergenerational dating thing, like, so now I saw my first major article about, you know, like an intergenerational lesbian couples and dating. And so like, I've had this thing about like, you know, it's really sweet. And this article actually did a much better job than the one that I read about like the queer intergenerational thing. This was like way more thoughtful about, you know, different elements in our culture and society that have kind of come together to like create these things. But like, you know, I always knew it was a thing. I mean, back in the day, it was not unusual to see like a 40-year-old lesbian woman dating a 20-something-year-old lesbian. You know, there were definitely critiques and like people were definitely like probably pretty like judgy about it. But what do you think about these things? Because I think that there's a way to like talk about it and appreciate it where it doesn't always have to. I think people's inclination is like, this is an unhealthy relationship. And I'm not sure if that's fair for queer folks necessarily in the same way that like, I don't know, like, I actually don't think it's that fair for heterosexual folks either. Because like, you know, now that I'm like older and like my parents and my step parents have been together for years, they're like, age gap doesn't it's not even like make any sense now. They both have fucking gray hairs and like are retired. You know what I mean? Like at some point it's like, was that bad? Because they were together for fucking a bazillion years. Like, you know, like I think it's about power dynamics somehow, about how we look at these things and decide if like, you know, big age gaps are healthy.
Well, you do have to remember that also generationally, age gaps, you know, there was a different, I guess, understanding of age gaps, like for, say, your parents' generation. So I think that nowadays we understand that there's oftentimes a different power dynamic. But I also think that now our, you know, the people like millennials and younger are also like stunted in growth. So I think that age gaps now are different than age gaps
stunted in growth
before that. I feel like everything that kind of came after 9/11, it's just there's less money, there's less opportunity, and because of those things, like people aren't leaving their house as soon as, say, your parents' ages were. Like you were you're not expected to be an adult as soon as you were, say, in the 60s or 70s.
It's not even accessible to you, right? Like,
no, exactly. And so therefore, you know, it comes with a level of being stunted in terms of, you know, just comparative. I don't think that you're actually stunted. I think it's fine to, you know, it's fine for it to make sense that people have to live with their parents through their 30s these years because nobody's making a fucking enough money, right? But also that comes with a different level of responsibility. So my point being, like, a 20-year-old nowadays dating a 40-year-old, that feels a lot fucking weirder probably than, say, in, like, the 60s. Yeah,
maybe.
Maybe. All creepy, I guess.
Here's how I see it. Like, on one level...
Can you, like, edit all of that out? That was all just the
yammering
on about nothing.
You're putting a cultural perspective and point to it, which is important because all those feed in. Like, look. My great-grandmother married my great-grandfather when she was 14 and a year later started having children. But this is at the turn of the century. And this was, like, agrarian farmer culture. And, like, people weren't necessarily...
Yeah, and, like, your life expectancy was, right, like, fucking exactly. 60 or right. 40 so or whatever the fuck. Like, or childbirth.
Like, what is it? Like social construct-y a little bit. But, like, I'm also thinking about nowadays, like, why is all this daddy... and mama fever happening. Well, also, we don't look like our parents' generation did at 40 and 50.
Exactly.
Sorry, ma, pa, we look better than your generation did.
Yeah, we're aging a lot differently.
There's a lot of reasons for that. Yes, nutrition. Yes, medicine. Yes,
SPF.
Right, exactly. Well said. There's all sorts of reasons that's true. And because I don't want to make this age thing, it's certainly not just about like socioeconomics or like cultural norms or conveniences. Like younger people in many situations are expressing like an attraction and desire to older looking individuals, and like I can kind of see that, you know, like look at like we have the age of the Golden Bachelor now, right? You know, like have you seen that show? Of course you have.
So like to clarify, I said like 40 and 20 is creepy earlier. I don't even know if creepy is the right word. I just think that if you don't have a fully formed brain yet, then I don't think that dating somebody with a fully formed brain in any kind of long-term capacity makes much sense. And I also don't think that there should be a power dynamic situation where, say, the younger person feels indebted to the older person for some fucking reason or another. And with age gaps like that, there is more of that ability to be a thing, right? If you're dating amongst your peers, you might be closer to them.
So this is the,
you know, economically, etc. So I just
right, because like if X then Y, right? You know, there's a lot of bad daddies and bad mamas out there, meaning like bad mamas. I saw some
like, tattoo that on my arm.
Advantage of younger women in the same way as that fucking older men not taking care of like advantage, and vice versa. You know, there's not like certainly not a possibility that this power differential doesn't work in the favor of the younger person in terms of manipulation or like exploitation or whatever, right? But I think the question, and I guess maybe this is what I'm getting at, is there does need to be a discussion and evaluation about like how these like relationships get conducted, because we certainly don't want to see anybody in the community in unhealthy relationships. And I know that
Like, look at things like, was there grooming?
Right.
You know, did they know you since you were 17, but didn't really talk to you until you were 21? That's grooming.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, there's, we know those people out there that did that to us. You know, we knew them when we were too young. And then as soon as it was, felt a little less weird or whatever,
profiles and stuff and say like hunting for daddies or whatever, and like, you know, and I never message any of those people, but like, because I'm honest about my age and my profiles, I certainly get hit up by them a lot, because I guess I'm at that sweet spot age of 45 to 55 or something like that, where like the daddy thirst is real for some of these, you know, 20 30 somethings. And like the almost, I would say half the time, especially for these people who are being so explicit about it, question of what do I do for a living comes up like fairly quickly. So like, you know, I also understand like hesitance and like whatever judgment on like older people's side in regards to like, I don't believe a young person if they're telling me they're attracted to me because I think they're attracted to my bank account, right? There's all sorts of things at play, because, you know, I'll say sometimes, well, I'm a student at UNM, and like, I never, like, it's like crickets after that. You know, where if like I'm feeling kind of bold, I'll say like, or, you know, if you're hot, I will say, oh, I'm a healthcare consultant. And amazingly, that conversation turns into a pics? Question mark. I mean, I gotta say, like, we have to figure out a way to make this whole dating scene a little less soulless, not to devolve from this, but like, I think that's my whole point about the conversation. Power dynamics come up in age, but they come up in all sorts of other scenarios as well. They come up in perceived attractiveness, you know, like,
it's, that's true. That's true.
I saw this this like kind of very indie queer movie the other day. I think it was called Weekend. And basically these two queer dudes, like, they meet at a bar, like drunk or whatever, and like one of them is doing this like art project where like right after his hookups he like pulls out a tape recorder and asks them about the whole experience. Like, why did you, you know, what did you think of the sex we had? Do you think my dick could have been bigger? Like, da da da. And like one of the things the guy says, like, he was like, well, at first I thought this dude is way out of my league. And the guy's like, really? Well, so, like, what do you think you are on, like, the number scale? And he's like, I think I'm, like, a 6, and I think you're, like, a 9. And the other guy's like, see, I would have, like, reversed those for us. I think, like, would have felt that, like, you seemed out of my, like, so, like, all these weird insecurities and shit we bring to the table with, and, like, perception is so, like, I mean, I know over the years we've said this a million times, but, like, attractiveness is not one of those things, like, I really think you can pigeonhole that it's this or that. It is so person specific. Yes, there may be a lot of people that like think blonde and blue eyed is hot, right? I would again challenge and say, do you actually think it, or has it been fed to you on the television since you were fucking 5 years old, kind of think it? Like, or, right, you know, people who have like, because as a queer man, I was never allowed to find what I saw on TV or media attractive, and I certainly wasn't allowed to articulate it. I think I developed a maybe more personal idea of what was attractive to me. And of course, like, it felt like it had a lot more to do with, like, you know, personality and, like, energy and, like, you know, passion on some level.
Right.
Because, like, I could have thought, I think the only person I ever got caught, I was in the bookstore. I wonder if my stepfather remembers this. And it was a Barnes & Noble or one of those huge things. And he was, like, looking for something, gift for somebody. And I was in, you know, those, like, coffee table book section where there's, like, photo books of, like, rock stars or mountains or whatever. I came along, like,
sure.
This, like, Calvin Klein, Marky Mark photo book, which is, like, 900% of him just, like, in his underwear.
Hot, yeah.
And so, like, I'm, like,
fantastic.
Like, 13, 14 years old, and I'm, like, thirsting on this one page of, like,
great time, a great Marky Mark
and, like,
time.
He's wearing the briefs, not the boxer shorts, and, like, I'm just, like, in, like, the, I don't know, the resolution of the photo, and I'm, like, transfixed, and all of a sudden, I hear my stepfather go, "What you looking at there?" He's like right over my shoulder.
Oh my
and,
God.
Like, I turned into a tomato. Like, tell me fucking parents don't know. Get the fuck out of here, of course. Like, the ones that are paying attention.
That's so funny.
Like,
I love that he was is such a little shit. He was like,
he
"Watch out like, there."
Necessarily shame me. I think he probably thought it was fucking funny. Like, you know, I think he probably thought, you know, this is a fucking teenager. Like, and their curiosity of seeing people in underwear is like the game is on. You know, like.
Well, you could be looking for two reasons. You could be looking because you would like to look like that, or because you would right. like to touch that. Well, right. Yeah, so.
Because I'm. An avid fan.
Either way.
The funky bunch all the way.
Either way, he was going to give you shit. And I love that because exactly. he didn't give a shit. But that's.
I mean, like. Funny.
Hey, what you looking
so, okay. And so I know, I don't know if we ever gave like conversation to this. We're all over the place today. Fuck you. Pick and choose. There's a little for everyone. But so this thing about gatekeeping at queer bars, right? I think, I don't even know if we talked about it on the record or off the record, but I read this, like, or I saw this, like, follow-up from, I'm going to give a shout-out to them because I really do like their podcast. It is, I want to make sure I get it right. Oh my God, why do I feel like things disappear as soon as I start looking for them? That is so fucking horrible. Where did you go? Oh my God. Oh, right. Okay. It's the Bad Queers Pod. You know, Bad Queers Pod. All together. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so, I saw that the other day.
And I think that this is true. If you're bringing one of your straight, heteronormative pals to a queer bar, you need to vet those bitches. You do. You need to make sure mm-hmm. that they know how to fucking behave in queer spaces.
I feel like this is a fun opportunity to, like, make a skit out of this. But, like, with factually yeah. helpful information, you know, somebody could make, like, I'm giving people the idea to make a TikTok skit out of, like, how to vet your straight friend. This could even be an SNL skit, you know, how to vet your straight friend before you go to the queer space,
absolutely.
Whatever that might be. It doesn't have to necessarily be a bar. It could be a fucking poetry reading,
absolutely.
For fuck's sake. Like,
absolutely.
And then, you know. You make jokes, but then you also include actually helpful information because this is something that people
yeah,
should be
they
doing.
They should. Like, look, and I like the point that they make on the pod, the Bad Queers Pod, is like, we don't have all space, face it, in general, is considered heterosexual space for you to perform heterosexual, like, activities and behaviors and whatever.
Dances.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't have to.
Are you perform your heterosexual
no,
dance?
But, like, you know, it's perfectly like, ah, young love. And you see somebody like walking in front of you, a cis man and a cis woman, and she sticks her tongue in his ear, right? Like, they're allowed to do that in public. If I do it, it could be problematic depending upon like where the space is. I mean, I do love like really, they're called wet willies, right? Yeah. I cannot handle a wet willy, by the way. I will make excruciatingly loud, like, orgasmo kind of fucking sounds. So don't try to stick it. Like, I'm like, you can't control how loud I get. It's insane. And no, not in a sexy way. That face is appropriate that you're making. It's not cool. That's why I don't like it. Like, it feels really good, but I can't control my vocals on it. So I don't know how to make it hot.
No, I hate wet will. I don't want a wetness in my ear. I don't want a tongue. I don't want a finger. Get the fuck out of my ear. Unless you're Q-tipping my ear because both of my arms are broken.
I love it. Yeah.
Seriously, that's the only way you'd be touching my ears is if you were Q-tipping them because both my arms are broken and I couldn't reach my foot up to my ear because I could do it.
So I like your thing. So I think if you're like of the seven of you.
You like my thing?
If like at least three of you decided to do a TikTok.
Oh my God.
No, I like this because like I want to, like I'm not going to sit and say what the rules for vetting are. I'm not trying to be a fucking gatekeeper. It's what I don't like about the general idea of trying to exclude heterosexual people from queer spaces altogether. Like I don't want to gatekeep like that, but I do want to feel safe in spaces that are being specifically made to make money off of me or my kind, you know, like if this is our space, quote unquote, like you're a visitor in our space, like you don't go to somebody's house and shit on their kitchen table, you know, like, so don't do that.
Remember MySpace top 8? That was really fun.
So yeah, make us a fucking TikTok.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
I like this TikTok.
No. I didn't have anything else to say. I just wanted to know if you remembered it.
Okay, bitch. We got to go before they kick me out of here. Oh, Lord.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. Oh, wait. Hold on one second. Okay. I need 20 seconds to put a period on the age convo. My personal opinion, is if the brain is formed. I was going to say something. I don't know.
Grass on the playing field?
Yeah. Basically. That's fucked up. But like 25.
Fully descended.
Yeah. Can they fucking. Are their thoughts clear?
No. I mean, look.
I don't know. It's a. And power dynamic. Like, it has to be. Cannot be any kind of abusive power dynamic nonsense, and
if
their
you're
brain
older,
needs to be fully
like,
formed.
If you're older, like, you know.
I mean, for big age gaps, like 21 and 28,
yeah, no,
I'm not
like,
going to cry
position,
about, but like 21 and 65,
position,
I don't know.
That 21-year-old
that sounds interesting.
Like, let's say all things are like, cool. The 21-year-old feels completely like autonomous and like in control.
Chill.
And, like, they like 65-year-old dick. Fuck yeah. Go for it. Own that 65-year-old dick. But for the 65-year-old, I want you to remember, you're in a different part of your life. If you're going to go and let, like, this thing happen because maybe it is exciting to you, you should try to talk to a 21-year-old for more than 5 minutes. No offense. I love you, babies. You little gabies. You're beautiful. But eventually there does become, you're in different spaces in your life. So the wider that gap is, the huger that space. And if you're really chill and love to hear things in both directions about the olden days and about the new days, and like that's your jive as a couple, fuck yeah. Just don't take advantage of that from any angle. Like, and remember, like, a 21-year-old is not going to have the same resources as you. So if you're taking them out to dinner, you're probably paying. And don't use that against them, because this is where those power gaps start happening, in these little tiny spaces of like.
Are you giving old, are you giving the 65-plus crowd instructions on
how to properly handle their
date a 21-year-old? I like that. That's hilarious.
Twink handling 101.
Oh, Jesus.
Sometimes they're sweet. Like, come on.
You know, professor. Hey, love. It's time for you to pack up your knapsack and get the fuck out of that room.
Okay. I love you.
Thanks for tuning in. I don't know if we made any proper point today or put a period on anything, but if the brain is formed, you can
perform. Oh, I like that.
Perform.
If the brain is fully formed, you can perform. So are you recommending they do brain scans?
I have to work on it.
They, like,
to workshop
go to the bedroom now?
Like yes. It. And no more growth on the brain.
I love you. TikTok has some. gets
I love you.
Telling your straight friends to behave themselves in queer spaces. And in general.
Just in general. You behave. All right. Thanks for tuning in. We love you. Bye.